All right. Ready to go deep on Napoleon Hill's The Law of Success?
Yeah, let's do it.
We've got like a mountain of material here.
Oh, I know.
Original excerpts, study guides, even full audiobook breakdowns, you name it, all ready to unlock those secrets Hill spent 20 years, uncovering.
It's amazing how relevant it all still is.
And you already know the basics, so
Duh.
we're going to skip like all that surface stuff
Let's get right to
and
it.
really dig into the practical stuff, how you can use it,
Absolutely, because it's almost a century later,
Right.
and these principles are still so powerful.
Totally. Like a timeless playbook almost.
Hill interviewed some of the biggest names back then,
Oh, yeah, like
like Andrew Carnegie,
Carnegie,
and
yeah.
really trying to understand like what made these people so
The
successful.
mindset.
Yeah, their habits, the whole thing.
But before we get lost in all the details,
Okay.
what exactly did Hill lay out in this book? Like, what's the big picture?
Think of it as a like a blueprint for achievement. But instead of, bricks and mortar,
Right.
it's built on like 15 laws that he observed in super successful people.
15 laws. Wow.
We'll break down the most important ones,
Okay.
but it's not about like quick fixes,
Right. Yeah.
Hill was all about the long game. Understanding the mindset, building the habits
Yeah.
that lead to like real lasting success.
Okay.
And it all starts with desire.
All right, let's talk desire.
Yes.
But Hill says it's not just wishing for something, right? It's got to be more than that.
It is, it is. Hill called it your definite chief aim.
Definite chief aim. Okay.
And it's not just some vague thing you want,
Yeah.
It's going to be a burning desire for something specific.
So it's like almost like having a destination in mind before you even start the road trip.
Exactly, like setting your coordinates.
Yeah.
That's your definite chief aim.
But how do you find that? I mean, some people might not even know where to start looking for that, you know?
Well, the study guide you have actually has an exercise for that in the answer key.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hill believed everyone has talents and passions, things they're naturally drawn to.
Okay.
The key is to figure out how to connect those to a goal, something that really lights you up.
So it might take some soul searching, maybe some trial and error.
For sure, for sure. But once you find that driving force, that's the first step.
Makes sense. But is that enough? Just having that burning desire.
Here's the thing. Hill said desire needs other principles working with it to really ignite success.
Okay, so it's not just enough on its own.
Right. He used this car analogy. Desire is the fuel, but
But you need the whole car.
you need the whole car. You need an engine, right? That's self-confidence propelling you forward.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
And then you need a navigation system to keep you on course.
Right.
That's auto-suggestion.
Auto suggestion, right.
And you've got to have tires for those rough patches. That's persistence.
Okay, you mentioned auto suggestion. That comes up a lot with Hill.
Yeah.
What exactly does that even mean, and how does it fit into all this?
Think of auto-suggestion as like a way to program your subconscious mind. It's about feeding yourself positive thoughts, visualizations,
Oh, okay.
over and over until those thoughts become beliefs. Hill believed that was key to overcoming self-doubt, staying motivated, all that.
So it's like training your mind to believe you can achieve that goal, even when things are tough.
Exactly. And this wasn't just some theory he came up with.
Yeah.
He studied tons of successful people
Yeah.
and saw that they all use positive self-talk and visualization.
Oh,
Whether
interesting.
they realized it or not, like they were unconsciously using auto-suggestion to pave their way to success.
Wow. Okay. So we've got desire as the fuel, confidence as the engine, auto suggestion as the navigation, persistence for the rough roads.
It's all
It's all
connected.
connected. Yeah. Speaking of rough roads, that brings us to Hill's perspective on failure,
Oh.
right? And I know what you're thinking.
Oh, another positive vibes only guy.
Exactly.
But Hill was way more nuanced than that.
Yeah. It's not about ignoring the bad stuff, it's about how you deal with it.
Right, exactly.
Really.
Hill knew that setbacks are going to happen. They're part of the journey, not the end of it. And he had this great analogy about a crucible.
A crucible.
Yeah, like when you melt metal down,
Okay, I'm listening.
you put the metal in this container, heat it up really, really hot,
Yeah.
and all the impurities, they rise to the surface. Then you skim them off.
Okay.
What's left? Stronger, purer metal.
So are you saying failure or setbacks? Those are like the impurities.
Yeah.
And they can actually make us stronger in the end.
Precisely. He believed every setback, every failure has a lesson in it.
Okay, interesting.
It's a chance to learn, adapt, and come out even stronger. Just like that purified metal. It's not always easy to see it that way, though.
No, not when you're in the middle of it.
Right. It's easy to just want to give up when things get tough.
Oh, totally. But how do we actually use this crucible idea.
Well, I think.
Because when you're facing a setback, it feels like a failure.
Right, yeah. It's about shifting your perspective.
Okay.
Instead of getting stuck in those negative feelings, disappointment, frustration.
Yeah, yeah.
Try asking yourself, what can I learn from this? What went wrong? What could I do differently next time?
So it's about actively looking for the lesson.
Yeah.
Like mining for gold in the dirt.
Exactly. Gotta sift through the debris to find those nuggets of wisdom.
I like that.
And the audiobook transcript you shared actually has some great examples of this.
No, does it?
Yeah. Remember the part about the famous inventors?
Mm-hmm.
So many of them faced huge setbacks before they had their breakthroughs.
Right.
Ridicule, even. But they just kept refining their ideas, learning from each mistake.
It's like Edison's quote about finding 1,000 ways that didn't work.
Exactly.
It's inspiring, but it also takes a certain level of, I don't know, mental toughness.
Oh, Hill would agree with you there.
Yeah.
He has a whole chapter on self-control,
mm-hmm.
emphasizing how important it is for success. Yeah. He said mastering your thoughts and emotions is crucial for staying focused.
Makes sense.
Making good decisions, persevering when things get hard.
So we've got desire, persistence, reframing failure, and now self-control. That's a lot.
It is. It is.
How do we cultivate that kind of discipline? It's got to be easier said than done, right?
He acknowledged that. He said the human mind can be like a wild horse, you know?
Oh, yeah. Powerful, but tough to control.
Exactly. And he offered some practical tips for gaining control.
Mm-hmm.
Remember auto-suggestion?
Right. The positive self-talk and all that.
Well, he said you can use that to develop self-control, too.
Really?
Yeah. By consciously choosing to focus on good thoughts, constructive thoughts, you can prevent negative emotions from taking over.
So it's not about ignoring those negative thoughts altogether.
No, not necessarily. It's about recognizing them and then making a choice to redirect your focus.
Interesting. So we have a choice in how we respond.
Exactly. It's not always easy, but it's a skill you can practice.
Practice makes perfect. Right.
Mm. And Hill was big on taking action.
Okay.
He talked about initiative, being able to act without being told.
Initiative, yeah.
He saw it as a key element of leadership.
Interesting.
And a big difference between people who dream of success and those who actually achieve it.
So being proactive, taking charge, I like that.
Right. But it can be scary to take that first step,
right.
Especially if you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Hill understood that. He actually laid out a 3-step process for developing initiative.
Oh, okay. What's the first step?
Eliminate procrastination. He saw it as the biggest obstacle to action.
Oh, stop putting things off. Got it. Easier said than done, though.
Right. He suggested breaking big tasks down into smaller, manageable steps.
Okay.
That way you're not facing this giant, overwhelming thing.
Just one step at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He also said to set deadlines and hold yourself accountable.
Even if no one else is holding you to them.
Exactly.
So setting realistic goals and creating a structure that supports action.
Yep. And here's where it gets really interesting. Hill's second step was to inspire initiative in others.
Wait, helping other people be proactive helps you develop your own initiative.
That's what he thought. He felt that by teaching and mentoring, you actually reinforce those principles in your own mind.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Plus, you create this ripple effect of positive action.
I like that.
Imagine inspiring someone else to overcome their procrastination and reach their goal. Talk about motivation.
Yeah. Wow. That's a cool way to look at it. So it's not just about you. It's about helping others take action, too.
And that connects to Hill's third step, which is understanding the difference between real leadership and fake leadership.
Oh, this is about being the kind of leader you'd want to follow, right? Not the bossy type.
Exactly. He'll believe true leadership is about empowering others, not just having power over them.
Okay.
It's about inspiring your team to achieve success together, working together with respect.
Leading by example, not by force. This reminds me of Hill's emphasis on the golden rule. Treat others how you want to be treated. But he took it deeper than just being polite.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He connected it to a universal law. Reaping what you sow.
Karma, almost.
Yeah, kind of.
Hit her.
He believed that your thoughts and actions create a ripple effect, not just on other people, but on your own success, too.
So it's not just about being nice. It's about recognizing that the energy you put out, good or bad, influences your journey.
Right. If you're always complaining, being negative, that creates a negative atmosphere.
And that negativity will come back to bite you.
Exactly. Hill was basically saying you attract what you project.
Put out good vibes, get good vibes. I can get behind that.
Put out kindness, generosity, support. that creates an environment where good things can grow.
Okay.
And this applies to your thoughts as well, not just your actions.
That's where his idea of accurate thought comes in, right?
Yes. Hill was a big believer in separating facts from just information.
What's the difference?
Well, he saw so many people getting caught up in rumors, misinformation, stuff that led them away from their true purpose.
He was all about finding the truth then, even if it's hard to hear.
Exactly. He saw accurate thought as the foundation for making good decisions. You can't build a successful life on lies.
Okay, that makes sense. But how do you actually develop that skill, sifting through all the noise to find the truth?
Hill had a simple but powerful two-step process.
Okay, I'm listening.
First, look closely at where your information is coming from.
The source.
Yeah. Are they biased? Do they have a hidden agenda?
Okay. What's the second step?
Evaluate the information itself. Does it make sense? Does it line up with what you already know? Is there evidence to back it up?
So being a critical thinker, not just believing everything you hear.
Exactly. Hill believed that skill was crucial for navigating life and making good decisions.
Okay. So we've got desire, persistence, reframing failure, self-control, initiative, the golden rule, and now accurate thought.
It's a lot, right?
Hill really covered it all in The Law of Success. It's like he created a roadmap for not just outward success, but for building a strong inner foundation too.
He definitely did. He believed true success isn't just about money or fame. It's about becoming the best version of yourself, living a life with purpose and fulfillment.
Speaking of becoming the best version of yourself, he talked about having an attractive personality, but he wasn't just talking about good looks, was he?
No, not at all. Hill believed true attractiveness came from character. That's the foundation of a magnetic personality.
So it's more than just being nice or having good manners. It's about things like integrity, honesty, kindness, the qualities that draw people to you.
Exactly. And Hill didn't stop there. He actually gave a three-step process for developing a strong character.
Okay, break it down for me. How do you build that kind of character?
First, he said, find people you admire for their character.
Like role models.
Yeah. People who embody the qualities you want to develop. Honesty, resilience, compassion.
Okay. Then what?
Then use auto-suggestion, remember, that positive self-talk to imprint those qualities onto your subconscious. Imagine yourself acting with integrity, honesty, kindness. See yourself making decisions that reflect those values.
So it's about consciously choosing to embody those qualities, even in everyday moments.
Exactly. And Hill's third step is to put it into action. Don't just admire those qualities. Find ways to express them in your life.
Practice what you preach.
Exactly. He believed that with enough practice, those aspirational qualities can become habits, part of who you are.
I like that. It's interesting how he connects all these principles together.
Yeah.
From desire and persistence to self-control and character. It shows how success isn't just about luck or talent.
It's about cultivating the right mindset and habits.
Right. It's about aligning your inner world with your outer goals.
And that brings us back to something we touched on earlier, Hill's idea of infinite intelligence.
Oh, yeah. That one sounded a little mystical to me.
It might sound that way at first, but when you understand what he meant, it actually becomes very practical.
Okay, so what did he mean by infinite intelligence?
He believed there was a universal power, a creative force, that we could tap into through our thoughts and actions.
So something bigger than ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about anything supernatural, though. More about the power of our subconscious mind and its connection to something larger.
Okay. So how do we tap into that? Is it like meditation or something?
Hill believed that focused imagination was the key. He called it creative thought.
Creative thought.
It's about consciously directing your imagination, visualizing what you want to achieve, aligning your thoughts with your goals.
So not just wishful thinking. It's about using your imagination as a tool.
Exactly. And the audiobook has some interesting techniques for doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the part about making a vision board?
Uh-huh.
That's a great way to bring your goals to life visually, to keep them front and center in your mind.
Right. So vision boards, affirmations, visualization, all aimed at tapping into this creative power.
Yep. It's about making your thoughts work for you.
It's starting to sound less mystical and more like a practical way to achieve your goals.
And that's exactly what Hill was saying. He saw infinite intelligence, not as some magical force outside of us, but as potential within each of us.
Okay.
Waiting to be unlocked.
That's a powerful thought. But it also raises the question of responsibility.
Oh, how so?
Well, if we have this power to shape our reality, doesn't that mean we're responsible for what we create?
That's a great question, and one that Hill wrestled with himself. He believed we have a duty to use this power wisely and ethically.
Okay.
For the greater good.
Right. Like with the golden rule, it wasn't just about being nice. It was about understanding that our choices have consequences.
Exactly. He believed we have a moral obligation to use our creative power to make the world a better place.
I like that. Before we get too deep into philosophy, though, there's one more thing we need to unpack. Hill's idea of mastermind groups.
Ah, yes.
It sounds a bit like a secret society for successful people.
Not quite a secret society, but definitely a powerful idea.
Okay. What is it exactly?
A mastermind group is a group of people who come together to support each other's goals.
So like a brainstorming session or a networking group.
It's more than that. It's about harnessing the collective wisdom and energy of the group.
Interesting.
You get different perspectives, accountability, and a support system that keeps you motivated.
Okay, I can see how that would be helpful. But how do you even start one?
The audiobook intro actually has a section on that. Hill used mastermind groups himself.
Did he?
Yeah. He said to look for people who share your goals and values, but also bring different skills to the table.
So people who challenge you, but also support you.
Exactly. And Hill emphasized structure and commitment. Meeting regularly. Having a shared purpose, clear goals.
Makes sense. Sounds like a great way to accelerate your growth, both personally and professionally.
Hill would agree. He believed that collaboration and synergy were essential ingredients for success.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. Desire, persistence, reframing failure, self-control, initiative, the golden rule, accurate thought, character development, infinite intelligence, and mastermind groups.
Wow. Hill's law of success is a pretty comprehensive blueprint.
It is, but it's not about following some rigid formula.
Right. It's more about understanding these principles and figuring out how they apply to your life.
Speaking of applying it to your life, you mentioned earlier that you could relate to feeling like giving up. Well, they also mentioned they're struggling with mention a relevant detail from the listener's sources. How would Hill's principles apply to that specific challenge?
That's a great question. And I think this is where it all comes together. Hill's work is full of great stories and ideas, but the real magic happens when you start using those principles in your own life.
So let's connect the dots for them. We talked about desire, but how can they actually take action when facing this obstacle?
One thing that comes to mind is Hill's idea of breaking big goals down into smaller steps.
Right, right.
The study guide even has a worksheet for creating an action plan.
Oh, that's perfect.
Maybe we can adapt that to their situation.
I like that. And maybe we can even use some of Hill's other principles.
Yeah.
Like auto-suggestion and visualization to help them stay on track.
Exactly. And we could also encourage them to explore mastermind groups. Maybe they already have friends or colleagues who could offer support.
Or this could be the push they need to start their own group.
Imagine having a group of people who are rooting for you and helping you stay focused.
That would be amazing.
And remember Hill's idea about reframing failure. If they hit a roadblock, they can see it as a chance to learn and grow.
Turning those so-called failures into stepping stones.
Precisely. By using these principles, they can tap into that inner strength Hill talked about.
Okay, I'm feeling inspired. But before we wrap up, I have one more question.
Okay.
Hill talked a lot about service, about contributing to something bigger than yourself. How does that fit into his whole philosophy of success?
That's a great question to end on. It really gets to the core of what Hill was saying. He believed that true success wasn't just about personal gain.
Okay.
It was about making a positive impact on the world.
So it's not just about what you achieve, but about how you use your success to help others.
Exactly. He believed that real fulfillment came from connecting your goals to a sense of purpose, wanting to make a difference.
It's about finding that point where your passions meet the needs of the world.
Exactly. And Hill believed that by contributing to something larger than ourselves, by using our talents to make a positive impact, we not only create a better world, but we enrich our own lives as well.
It's almost like he's encouraging us to think bigger, to see ourselves as part of something larger than just our own individual pursuit.
Exactly. And that's where his concept of a cosmic habit force comes into play.
Okay, cosmic habit force. That sounds pretty intense.
It might sound a bit out there, but it's a really interesting idea. Hill believed that our habits, both good and bad, create a kind of energy that goes beyond ourselves.
So our habits have a ripple effect, just like our thoughts and actions.
Precisely. He believed that by developing positive habits, things like persistence, self-discipline, helping others, we tap into this cosmic force, this energy that supports our growth.
It's like we're aligning ourselves with the flow of the universe, almost like catching a tailwind.
That's a great way to put it. And the opposite is true, too. Negative habits like procrastination, negativity, selfishness create resistance, holding us back.
So it's not just about willpower, then. It's about understanding that our habits have consequences.
Exactly. And this goes back to Hill's emphasis on taking initiative. Remember, he believed that taking action, even small steps, creates momentum and attracts positive energy.
It's like that saying, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Right. And each positive action, each step in the right direction, strengthens that cosmic habit force, pushing us further along.
So it's a self-reinforcing cycle. The more good we do, the more good comes back to us, which allows us to do even more good.
Exactly. And that's why Hill believed that success wasn't just about luck or circumstance, but about aligning our habits, our thoughts, and our actions with our deepest desires.
Okay, so we've covered a lot in our deep dive into the law of success. Desire, persistence, failure, self-control, initiative, the golden rule, accurate thought, character, infinite intelligence, mastermind groups, even cosmic habit force. It's a lot to take in. But the main thing that I'm taking away from all this is that Hill believed success starts from within.
Absolutely. It begins with our mindset, our beliefs, our habits, building that inner strength that helps us face challenges and reach our full potential.
And Hill wasn't just some armchair philosopher. He spent years studying successful people, their habits, their mindsets, everything. It's like he's saying, here's the blueprint, now go build something amazing. It's like he's saying, take all this and go make something incredible.
Yeah, really put it into practice.
Exactly. So we've covered a ton in this deep dive into the law of success. We talked about desire, persistence, bouncing back from failure, self-control, taking initiative, the golden rule, accurate thought, building character, infinite intelligence, those mastermind groups, even that cosmic habit force. It's a lot.
It is a lot to digest.
But if there's one thing that really sticks with me, it's that Hill believes success comes from within.
Absolutely. It all starts with our mindset, our beliefs, our habits. It's about building that inner strength that helps us overcome challenges and reach our full potential.
And Hill, he wasn't just talking about this stuff.
Right.
He spent years studying successful people, figuring out their habits, their mindsets, their strategies.
Yeah, he was all about putting in the work.
Exactly. It's like he's saying, here's the blueprint, now go build something amazing.
Yeah.